From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Chris Clark. He is Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest. Matt, how are you doing?
Doing pretty well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks to you for joining us. Really do appreciate it. Today we're going to jump into a little bit of Chris Jones talk. I know we talked about it on yesterday's show, but with Matt here, I do want to jump into this a little bit further. Chris Jones is in an interesting position because right now Kansas City can't afford to even give him the franchise tag. Now, obviously, that's going to change in the next couple of weeks. They will make some moves. They will free up some cap space. And actually, maybe they can give him the tag right now. But is that kind of the way you think it's going right now?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly seems like the direction. I mean, we haven't heard or seen any movement on the contract front. And I continue to get the sense, you know, from a lot of people, from agents, a little bit of talking to Brett Veach, the Super Bowl, that it's going to be a little bit of a frozen market maybe for free agency this year as far as long-term deals because of the CBA, and that everybody's kind of waiting to see how that sorts out. And the idea that maybe there's going to be a lot more money available next offseason, and that's when maybe you want to be a free agent. So there might be some impetus on both sides as part that, you know, hey, maybe kicking the can down the curb for one more season might be in the best interest for Chris Jones. I don't know that's necessarily in the best interest of the Chiefs, other than they're able to get one more year out of him without having to make a huge commitment and maybe kind of see where they are after 2020. But I still have a hard time believing that Chris Jones's value is going to go down in any way. I mean, I think it's only going to go up. Could they still get a deal done? Absolutely. But I think the first step is probably the franchise tag to just buy them more time and see what happens over the next few months.
Yeah. And that's kind of the way Ryan and I have talked about it. Although you do bring in something that is interesting and I hadn't really thought about when you start looking at, you know, next year's free agency period really the CBA this year, really kind of making it hard for free agency this year. And that's part of the reason I think that a lot of people are maybe wanting to try to get the CBA done before free agency begins in March, and whether or not that's going to happen, we don't know at this point, but that definitely gives the players impetus if they think that it's the only way that some are going to get paid this offseason.
Yeah. You know, and it's a really interesting scenario in the sense that, you know, there are probably going to be some players that do go ahead and sign some long-term deals this offseason because, you know, hey, if you can get the money, especially as a football player, you get it when you can, and because there are just too many risks and concerns with waiting a year. What if you get hurt? You know, something happens and that deal is not available a year from now. So there will still be some big deals. But yeah, I think that the league has a best interest in trying to get the CBA done earlier because then it kind of they get to know where their business environment is, what they can afford, what the next few years are going to look like. Because right now, that's still a bit of an X factor. I mean, you can kind of guess, but, you know, you're not going to really know what the salary cap's going to look like, what, you know, your long-term money's actually going to look like available to you until after that CBA gets done. So there's a lot up in the air there. I think that the teams are more interested in getting long-term deals done right now before the CBA changes because, like I said, they know there's going to be more money out there. And I think there's going to be, you know, some inflation on deals next season. So signing someone probably cheaper right now for a team than waiting a year. The only thing that teams might benefit from is that the, you know, changes to the CBA may give them a little bit more flexibility as far as how to configure deals against the cap. But for players, I hear from a lot of agents that, yeah, that, you know, if they can push free agency a year for their players, they think there's going to be a lot more money available next year.
Well, we're definitely going to have to dive into that a little bit more. But when we come back, we will dive into that. I want to ask you a question about Chris Jones that Ryan and I kind of talked about on yesterday's show, but I want to get your opinion on it because I think it could really favor or it could really hamper negotiations for a long-term deal with him if this is what Kansas City feels. So when we get back, we will be talking about that. All right, so before the break, we started talking about Chris Jones a little bit, and we started talking about what free agency could bring and how the CBA is going to change things. But one thing I wanted to ask you about, and I kind of teased this before we went to break, Chris Jones has had a little bit of an injury bug the past couple of years. Do you think that that really is going to hamper his value long-term to the Chiefs or any other organization?
I think it's interesting because, you know, yeah, I mean, the injuries this season, I think, do cause a little bit of concern, but I'm not sure it's a huge deal breaker. I mean, the only thing that I think it's really going to impact is just maybe the ceiling that Chris Jones could get. And, you know, and to his credit, I mean, Jones hasn't come out and said specifically what he's asking for. All we can really kind of infer is, you know, what's been rumored and reported and hinted at by, you know, people close to him and his agents. And that's the implication that he wants to be paid like an Aaron Donald, that he wants the biggest, you know, contract out there for a defensive lineman, and or at least something close to that. And you're right. I mean, the injury would be something and give teams a reason to maybe back off of that deal and maybe not consider giving him that much. I still think that he would settle for less than that. I still think that also that he wants to be paid more than what Frank Clark got last year. So I think the Chiefs would actually be willing to pay that kind of ballpark. It's just going to come down to, you know, how much specifically, how you can arrange it. I don't know that for the Chiefs, knowing what they know about Chris Jones over the years, I don't think the injury concern would be a big deal for them. Maybe it would be for some other teams, but I don't think it's a concern for the Chiefs.
Well, okay, so if the injury isn't really a big concern, and I understand what you're saying about wanting more than Clark, my question to you would be, is that something that is possibly reality, or that it could become reality for Chris Jones in Kansas City? Because honestly, most of the time, your edge pass rushers are paid the most on your team, or one of the most, one of the largest positions on your team outside of your quarterback, obviously. And in this instance, you're talking about having an interior defensive lineman be your, you know, your number one guy that you're paying the most to. And I think that that's possible for Kansas City. It's a question of whether or not they want to go that direction. But if there's any player on the Chiefs team that they should maybe consider doing it for, I would think it would be Chris Jones because of his value, one, to the team, and because you're not going to be able to replace what he gives you more than likely in the draft. No matter if you take somebody early in the first round and you trade up to go get him, you're just not going to be able to get somebody of his caliber. You know, there was actually a stat out today or a sheet that showed, you know, pass rush effectiveness, and Chris Jones was number two right behind Aaron Donald. I just don't see how you're going to be able to replace that.
No, I mean, you're not going to be able to. You're absolutely right. I mean, even on the free agent market, you know, you're one, there's just not a lot of guys out there like Chris Jones. And even if they are, they're going to be costly. But even then, you know, the next step into it is that could you get 75% of Chris Jones? Maybe. But could you do that for 75% of the money of Chris Jones? Probably not. I mean, you probably have to overpay for it still.
Right.
And then you're right. I mean, as far as, you know, the draft, I mean, the odds of hitting on a defensive tackle that can do what Chris Jones does, the odds are astronomically stacked against you. Exactly. I mean, it's just not out there. So, I mean, the Chiefs, I mean, they've got to ask themselves, you know, hey, is this a player that we feel like fits what we do, fits what Steve Spagnuolo wants to do, all of that? Because I'll tell you, I mean, from talking to Brett Veach last year at training camp, I asked him that specific scenario. I said, you've given the money to Frank Clark, you know, you want to give the money to Tyreek Hill. You know, can you get into a situation where you've got four or five guys that maybe are eating up $100 million of the salary cap? And he's like, you know what? It's a good problem to have, because if you got guys that are that good and you can pay, like, you can make it work. So he's like, no, I mean, it's he said it wouldn't be ideal, but it wouldn't scare them off. So there's an ability to get a deal done ultimately. And this is where I think that, you know, it's going to be the bigger question with Chris Jones than anything else. It's really just going to be about where the Chiefs in their 5-year plan envision themselves being, and if Chris Jones is going to continue to be a part of that. Because when the Chiefs tagged, you know, Dee Ford and traded him, they knew at the time that they traded him that Dee Ford wasn't going to be in their long-term plan. Now, I got to believe that Brett Veach knows whether or not Chris Jones is in his 5-year plan. If he is, then you got to try and figure out a way to get the deal done. And if not, kick it down the curb and figure it out next year. If he's not part of your plan, you got to tag and trade him. And that's the question that we just don't know the answer to at this point.
And that's right. And I completely agree with you. The one thing I will say on that, though, is there's a big difference between Dee Ford and Chris Jones. And it's the fact that Dee Ford didn't fit what they were going to on defense. So there was no way for them. And Ryan and I talked about this, and I think we talked about it with you as well last year, that it just didn't make sense if they were really going to a 4-3 to pay Dee Ford the kind of money that Dee Ford was going to want. So it made sense that they let him go. They tagged and traded him. For Chris Jones, he's an anchor on your defense. He said he wants to be here. He said he wants to build a dynasty here. And I think that you have to take that into account a little bit. And I think he does want to be here. But you were lucky in Kansas City is you have a player in Patrick Mahomes who's going to elevate everybody around him. So maybe you can start paying, you know, some super premium players like what we're talking about with Chris Jones and still keep the roster, you know, good enough to be able to compete.
Yeah, you can. And that's why I say that to me that, you know, the question is just how Chris Jones fits in, because I thought it was really weird this season hearing Steve Spagnuolo talk about Chris Jones, because, you know, he was given a lot of opportunities to just lavish Chris Jones with praise. And, you know, he didn't always do it. And I don't know how much of to read into that. I mean, it's purely speculative, and I'm not going to try and read into Steve Spagnuolo's mind about, you know, what he thinks of Chris Jones and how much, you know, gamesmanship is involved there. And let me tell you, there's a lot of gamesmanship, because
there always is.
You ask Chris Jones what position he plays, he will tell you he's a defensive end, because he wants that. If he's going to get tagged, he wants that defensive end tag, and he wants to make $4 million more. So, you know, when we talk about Chris Jones,
but he has no way of doing that this year.
Well, the agents will always try and find a way to do something.
That's true. No, you're right. I'm just saying, you know, last year he had a case for it. This year he doesn't. I mean, he played defensive tackle the entire time. So,
yeah. Agents will always try and finagle something, and you're absolutely right. But, you know, I mean, that's part of the whole gamesmanship. And really, everything between the Chiefs and Chris Jones for the last 12 months have all been gamesmanship.
Well, it's definitely going to be something to watch, and it's definitely going to be something that is going to be very interesting to see how that shakes out over the next couple of weeks, because I do think that we're going to get to a point in the next several weeks where Kansas City is going to start making moves to trim up their salary cap issues and at least get an idea as to where they're going to be and where they're going to be headed into free agency. Obviously, that starts in a month from now, so they've got to be making moves within the next month. But if they're going to tag Jones, which, you know, by all accounts, you know, I completely agree with you that they're going to tag him. I mean, that's what makes the most sense. They're going to have to do that in the next week or two. So when we get back, I want to flip the focus a little bit, and I want to start talking about the rest of the Chiefs roster, because they are going to be having to make some moves when it comes to the salary cap. All right, so when you start looking at this roster, obviously the first one that sticks out to you is going to be Sammy Watkins. Do you expect they're going to be making a move in the next couple of weeks with that, or do you think they're going to wait until closer to free agency?
I mean, you know, the limited information that we have on Brett Veach as a GM is that usually he does wait till the very end. He's the kind of guy that doesn't like to make, you know, quick knee-jerk reactions. He wants to take all the time that he's got. Even if he's 100%, 99% sure about what he's going to do at this point, he doesn't want to close any avenues. I mean, and it makes sense. I mean, it's smart. I mean, you know, good grief. What happens if you say, hey, we want to let go of Sammy Watkins, it hits the market, and you know, something happens that changes your roster that is out of your control. And suddenly maybe you wish, hey, I wish we still had Sammy Watkins back. So it's in Brett Veach's MO to wait as long as possible. And with Watkins, they're still, I mean, I don't know that they, I'd have to go back and look at the specifics of the deal. I don't know that they necessarily have to do something before the beginning of the league year with him. I mean, I think that they can still do some things with him after the beginning of the new league year. So I don't even know with a player like that we necessarily see an immediate, you know, resolution. Now, I think the bigger deal is that they want to try and free up some money for, you know, getting Chris Jones tagged, maybe being active a little bit in free agency. And that's where some of these decisions have to get done pretty quickly and decisions. The Chiefs have also been pretty active when it comes to restructuring in the last few years. That's something that Brett Veach seems like he's been a little bit more willing to do in the last 12 months than maybe the Chiefs had been in the recent past. And so that wouldn't surprise me, because they've got quite a few guys that I think that would fit into that kind of restructure deal rather than, you know, a cut and release and take the cap savings that way.
Well, and it's a little different this year, because right now is the CBA goes, and this is another reason they could wait. Right now, as the CBA goes, you don't have the ability to cut and get June 2nd treatment. You basically have to take the whole hit this year if you have any dead cap space. So that's going to be a big thing. But, you know, when it comes to Sammy Watkins, I do think that they're going to make a move and they're going to move on at some point in the near future. Are there any other guys that you think that could be potential moves that they're going to be making in the coming weeks?
You know, I mean, it would be purely speculative at this point, but I mean, if you go out and you look at the Chiefs contracts and you look at guys that are making, I would say, in that category of $7-8 million plus as far as their cap hit for next year. And if they've got a year or two more or than that on their deals, they're ripe for, you know, trying to do a restructure. The Chiefs did a restructure with Anthony Hitchens last year. There might be something you could squeeze out of that still.
Which is probably the only reason he might be on the roster this year in 2020.
Yeah, and some really interesting possibilities would be, you know, last year they did the extension with Mitchell Schwartz. Maybe you start looking at something like that with a Travis Kelce. You know, that's a deal that extending Travis Kelce would cost you money big time in the long term, but it might free up a little bit of money in the short term. Eric Fisher might be kind of in that category too. Duvernay-Tardif's been, you know, and speculated as, you know, being a release and save some cap space that way. But, you know, he's also kind of fits in that category. Even if you get into some of the lower salary guys like a Cam Irving, that, you know, hey, could you negotiate Austin Ryder, Damian Wilson? You know, could these be some guys that you could squeeze $1 million out of for some cap savings? Yeah, you could. So they've got a lot of options. And Brett Veach has been. He's been willing to do these little, and I go back to once again, I mean, the first time I got a chance to ask Brett Veach about, you know, kind of his philosophy. And I just remember asking him specifically about what I termed a minor move. He's like, I don't think that there's anything that is a minor move. And, you know, any little bit to save some cap space, it's not minor. I mean, and he's willing to do them.
Well, you have to be. And I think there are some players on there that you mentioned that I think definitely fit those potential moves of maybe cuts or maybe restructures. We'll have to see what the Chiefs do in the next couple of weeks to free up some space. But if we start looking at some of the free agent guys that they're going to have, like a DeMarcus Robinson, I can't imagine that there's a situation where he's back in Kansas City next year, mainly because he's so young and it sounds like there's already teams that are wanting to talk to him.
Yeah, and go back to, once again, I mean, one of the first things that Brett Veach ever told us, you know, as far as his philosophy as a general manager, it's guys on their rookie deals. You know, if you want to keep them, you sign them after year three, because after that, you know, it's just not possible. And Robinson fits in that category. I mean, with them not signing him last year to an extension, I mean, it was kind of, this was the prove it year deal. And I think he played well, but you're absolutely right. I mean, all indications are that there's teams lined up out there willing to give DeMarcus Robinson some pretty good money. And I don't think that fits in with the Chiefs' budgetary concerns, but hey, it's in their best interest still if DeMarcus Robinson signs for some good money, because they're going to get a comp pick for that.
Right. And you have to think that, and I know this is going to sound a little weird, but you have to think like a guy like Marcus Kemp is going to be a guy that they're going to look at replacing DeMarcus Robinson with. Kemp doesn't have the speed, but he does a lot of the little things that DeMarcus Robinson did. He's a fantastic blocker. And maybe they're going to try to go that route with Byron Pringle as well.
Yeah, there's a handful of guys. Kemp's one of those guys. You know, he's a restricted rights free agent that, you know, hey, he's going to cost a little bit of money, but not a huge amount. And that's definitely something I think is worth taking a risk on, because he looked like he was really starting to take some steps forward before that knee injury.
Well, and then he's also a special teams ace. You know, Dave Tobe loved him.
Exactly.
So that really helps as well. Well, Matt, thank you very much for coming on today. And Matt will be back with us tomorrow. So we're going to have plenty to talk about when we get back. Talking to him tomorrow. Thank you all for listening, and we will be back tomorrow to talk to you.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.